Blog Talk Radio.
The Lord is so amazing. God has truly been amazing. The love He showed me when He sacrificed His only Son. And what a blessing Christ Jesus in me. I'm all I am because of what the Lord has done. It's so amazing to be loved by the Holy Spirit, Father and the Son. Yes, the Lord's amazing love, my God.
October 1st, 2014, The Men at the Well on November 1st, 2016, and The Well debuted on December 15th, 2019 on Tribe Family Channel. I am Beverly Black. It is proud to I am proud to present The Well, a Tribe Family Channel and Gumbo for the Soul International Family brand. If you're just tuning in online, you can call 347-539-5285 and join the show. And in reverse, if you're online and you'd like to, if you're on the call and you'd like to revert to online, go to blogtalkradio.com/gumbo for the soul. Today on The Well, my guest speaker returns, Mr. Alan Black, no relation, introducing his new song and discussing his other works commissioned by faith under God's direction as an author and a man of God. The Well on Tribe Family Channel is a Gumbo for the Soul international family brand created, owned, and operated by yours truly, all rights reserved. That opening song, so amazing, is the late, great Sheila Ray Charles, the daughter of the legendary late Ray Charles. And it is so amazing to be able to praise God for another day in the midst of a pandemic, an epidemic, and all kinds of isms in the landscape of today's world. Nonetheless, we will praise him anyhow. Hallelujah, anyhow. And welcome to the well, Mr. Alan Black. Hello, Mr. Black. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, Beverly. I'm really glad to be able for us to get back together. You know, as I was listening to the song as we got ready to start the introduction, and she was singing about so amazing, and it really just ran through my mind how easy it is at times, and I'm guilty of this, and I admit it, that you kind of take every day for granted. But one thing I have learned here in these last few months, 2020 has been a difficult year for so many of us. But, you know, if you're still up and about and you have the breath in your body and your health is good, God continues to be so amazing, even beyond what most of us can really comprehend, to be honest with you. And as she was singing, I just found myself thinking over the last few months or so, I've had to shake my head at some things that have happened to me professionally and personally, and I think about the fact that God has been so amazing just beyond anything that I thought was possible, to be totally honest with you and the audience this evening. And so just the fact that if we wake up and we get up and we're able to go out and about, and yes, we've got our mask on and we're doing the social distancing and everything like that, but to go to certain places with some caution and with some kind of restraint, and then to come back, and then you wake up the next day. Man, that's a blessing that so many people would just love to be able to just have one more day. And one thing this thing has taught me the last few months is the fact that don't take anything for granted, because you know what? It can be here today. It can be gone tonight. And I'm finally recognizing that. I apologize to God. I've asked him to forgive me, because for far too long, I'm going to admit, I just took it for granted. But now in this time, in this season, I recognize that, hey, don't take it for granted, because it's a blessing. It's not something you're entitled to. It's something he blesses you to receive. And what an amazing God that we have. At least that's how I feel about it.
Well, I really appreciate those words of testimony and sentiment, because we do realize that God is no respecter of persons. So in the midst of a pandemic, the fact that we have breath in our bodies, we are on a radio show, we are not asking for prayer for ourselves during COVID because we don't have it, and we can be in the midst of a pandemic while the world is scurrying all about trying to stay alive, and we can profess with our tongue to be alive and to be in this moment, such as this, where the entire world is in the same moment. We're all on different time zones, but we're in the same moment. You best believe we are in the same moment. And it is a moment of reckoning, and it is a moment of awakening. It is a moment of enlightening. So if you're just tuning in to The Well, I am Beverly Black, and I am the host of The Well, and Mr. Alan Black, my guest, just gave testimony and revelation based on the opening song and the realization that it is so amazing. And I want to thank you for making it possible again as one of our sponsors also of The Well to be in this moment to give this testimony. A lot of things have happened, Alan, and I'm Beverly to you, of course. A lot of things have happened in our lives. Give testimony to something specific that may be on your heart that brings us to this moment of reckoning for you.
Right now, I'm in a time and a season where, as much as anything, I spend a lot of time, Beverly, just kind of looking back through like the window of life that God has brought me through. And very often I look back and I see certain situations and certain things that have happened. And I find myself, I don't know how anybody else reacts, but there are so many times these days that when I'm looking back, and maybe it's tied into the fact that really since, if you think about the end of March or so, maybe mid-March, somewhere in there, we basically have all been kind of quarantined at home to some extent. And part of that for me has given me the opportunity to do some self-reflection. And that self-reflection has really kind of steered me in the direction, again, of looking back through the window of time and just seeing so many different things that I went through that I just didn't think there was a way to get through it. I didn't really think I'd be able to see another day. And I thought about the fact that there was a time when I can recall back in 83, I was maybe about two blocks from my home, driving home, and this young man came flying over a hill. He must have been doing about 65 or 70. And he hit me basically broadside. And I can remember seeing his truck that he hit me with, Beverly, flipping over three times. And I wound up spinning around three or four times. And I can recall at that very second that when I opened up my eyes, I was so stunned that I was still alive and basically unhurt. Thinking about the fact that he hit me at about 70 miles an hour, there was just no way in the world that I should have survived that. And over the last 3 or 4 months, I've thought about that, just the fact that all it took was another second or just something else that could have happened, and I wouldn't be here this evening sharing an opportunity to speak with you and your audience. And sometimes I think about those kind of things because it goes to show you that God will bring you through so many things, and a lot of times I'm of the opinion that when we get to a later time in the season, it's important for us to kind of do some self-reflection and think about all the things that he has brought you through. And if you really think about those things that he brought you through, so many times they seem like the impossible, it just can't be done. But he's always come through, as the songwriter said, he may not be on time, your time, but he's always on his time, and that's what really counts. So for the last few months, that's what I really have been kind of reminiscing on, kind of meditating on, is the fact that having made it to this point in life, it's only because of the grace and mercy of God. And I thank him for that. And again, as I said before, I'm at a point now where I just don't take so many things for granted like I used to when I was a whole lot younger. I guess one thing about being a lot younger, you think you're invulnerable. You think you're indestructible, but life has a way of kind of reminding you what really is going on. It also has a way to remind you who's really in control, and God is in control. So that's kind of where I've been these last few months, and I thank God for the fact that I made it through that accident. I also thought about the fact that it was in December of 97, when I knew I wasn't doing well health-wise, but being a stubborn man at that point in my life, I continued to essentially ignore warning signs about my health. And then finally, to be totally honest with you and the audience, my mother looked at me at that time and she said, "Something's wrong. I'm going to make you a doctor's appointment." And I told her I didn't really have the time to go, and then she reminded me that she wasn't asking me to begin with. She was making it, and that's how it was going to be. And it turned out at that time I had been diagnosed with colon cancer. And that was a very difficult journey because it taught me to really lean on the Lord in terms of just trying to get through all of that. That was about a two-year journey from 98 up to about the year 2000, 2001, just to try to get back to as close to 100% as I possibly could. It was a difficult journey, but I'll never forget there was one moment in that journey when I was so frustrated, Beverly, and I remember crying out to the Lord. I said, you know, God, why is this taking so long for me to get healthy? And I got stuff to do. And I'll never forget, I heard a voice saying that, Alan, you have spent so much time worrying about getting where you want to go. You need to stop and think about how far I've brought you. And that really changed my perspective because all my worry, all my anxiety immediately disappeared. And I thought about the fact that he didn't have to bring me through the cancer to begin with. But he did so because he still had a purpose and a reason for me down the line leading up to this very moment in time. So I've spent a lot of time in these last 3 months thinking about those experiences, reflecting on them, and really thanking God for the fact that I've made it to this point when perhaps by mass definition I shouldn't have. But again, God's grace and mercy has brought me this far, and I can never thank him enough for it. And I would hope that our audience would also just take time during this era of the pandemic to just reflect and kind of meditate on what God has brought you through, and knowing that if he brought you through that, then he's going to bring us through what it is that we're going through. This is a time and it's a season of a test, and so we have to find out whose we are and who we are in terms of our relationship with the Lord, and that's what's going to sustain us through what has certainly been a difficult time with more difficulty ahead. But we have to learn to trust and believe that God will get us through it because he can do it when nobody else can. I know that's definitely the way it's been for me in my life.
Well, what a very heartfelt testimony for several reasons on several fronts. Part of your bio, it is written in part of your bio that you stated what matters most is the relationship that you have with the Lord. So to respond about the accident in your life, I'm reminded of my last guest on A Book Is Born last week, Friday, Thursday, right here on blogtalkradio.com/Gumbo for the Soul. Mr. B.G. Howard was my guest, and in his life, he was T-boned by a truck. He was on a bike with a passenger on the back, and he absorbed that accident. Everything from head to toe was broken in pairs, both ankles, both collarbones, both elbows. I mean, just broken. He had to be kept in a coma to be kept alive so that he wouldn't come out of the coma and go into shock and die because his body was just that badly broken. And on my show, A Book Is Born, he testified to our audience fighting through, surviving that. Two different men, two different circumstances, two different outcomes, same God.
Same God.
There is a level of faith. Because God is no respecter of persons, and we all deal with a different ebb and flow in life. Our circumstances and our encounters are different. Our socialization and our upbringing is different. And for those of us who may waver in our faith because we've been introduced to religion, I would go back to what you said, Alan. What matters most is the relationship that you have with the Lord. Now, you're the author of two books, Here I Am, Lord, and In the Spirit Intended, and we're going to get into that also. But to comment about your second testimony, bringing you into further clarity with your reflections on, you know, making it through being diagnosed with colon cancer and being mindful and reminded that we've all come this far by faith. It is an amazing testimony to hear of your strength and your resolve to survive through, again, adversity in life. You know, we all have different struggles that we will be faced with, but it's nonetheless, we all will be faced with adversity. And so what I'm hearing here at the well is that you have been reflective in these times and have been able to see that God has brought you through a lot. And it is on that measure of faith that he will continue to carry you through. Now, for our listeners, if you're just tuning in, Mr. Alan T. Black confessing and testifying to his love for God and his strength and resolve in his faith and his relationship. And I just want to say that as an advocate for health and wellness, our parent company, Gumbel for the Soul Publications, has a call for submissions out with regards to men's health and cancers and the different struggles that a man may encounter and overcome. So we'd be honored for your participation and submission in Men of Honor 2. And that information is at gumbelforthesoulinternational.com. Our first book focused on cancer and other challenges that men encounter in life. And we also have a first installment for Women of Honor as well. Again, breast cancer, health and wellness. And so we invite your participation. Here I Am, Lord. That's the first of your publications. Am I correct?
Yes, that's correct, Beverly.
What inspired Here I Am, Lord, to come through your pen and to our availability at Amazon.com? And, of course, we want you to give out your website where we can also get the book direct from the author.
I would have to say that the first book, Here I Am, Lord, was never, as I've kind of shared with you before, it was never my intent to be a Christian author. That was the last thing on my mind. I can recall probably starting in about 2015 or so at my part-time job, because I'm basically retired. I would just spend time just kind of what I call freestyling, just putting thoughts together on paper or typing it on my keyboard at my part-time job because it was really slow in the morning. And so I just kind of started freestyling quite a bit in 2010. And before I knew it, I had come up with probably about 5 to 10 short Christian, what I would call inspirational essays. I guess that's the best way to describe them. And Beverly, I have to admit that after I had finished up about the third or the fourth one, I had to reach out to a friend of mine who is a pastor and had kind of been like a mentor to me in terms of my walk with the Lord. And I explained to him what was going on. I said, I'm writing these kind of short essays and I'm not sure what's going on. And honestly, it was kind of scary because I'd never done anything like this before. And I found myself asking him, I said, well, what is going on? Because this isn't me. My writing, as I've shared with you before, my sole interest in writing has really been as a lyricist for music. And so for me to kind of transition into being a Christian, Arthur was a total shock. It was completely unplanned and unexpected. And so I found myself, after I spoke with him, he said, well, are you willing to be open to what the Holy Spirit is directing you to do? I said, well, yes, absolutely. I said, but at the same time, it's a little scary because the Holy Spirit would direct me to write something and then I'd finish it. I might go away from it for about 5 or 10 minutes to do something else. And then I would come back to what I had just written. And honestly and truly, I couldn't really recall writing pretty much any of it, even though it had been like a half hour before. And that's the part that really scared me because I had never been through that kind of experience before. I frankly thought, okay, am I like losing it here? I mean, what's going on? Because this is just a little too much for me to be dealing with. So he said, well, if you're going to be open to what the Holy Spirit is going to call you to do, this is what's going to happen. And I said, well, okay, I want to give this a shot. I don't necessarily know if it's going to go anywhere. And so I just, as much as anything else, I just made it a point to be obedient. And believe me when I tell you, I'm the last person who can brag about being obedient to what the Lord's calling me to do. I'm always of that mindset, well, yeah, Lord, that's great, but I got a better way to approach this. And by the way, have you thought about, of course, he never listened to me. I fooled myself making myself believe he's going to listen to me. Like, who am I, by the way, anyway? But so I just kind of kept writing, and then finally I came up with about 35 of these short essays, and even the title was really just kind of it was a moment where I just kind of said, okay, Lord, I give in, and I just basically said, here I am, Lord, what do you want me to do? And so that's how I came up with the title, by surrendering and saying, here I am, Lord, send me. And so that's how I came up with the title for the first book, which I released in the summer of 2017. And that was a major surprise because I'll never forget, Beverly, when the book first appeared on Amazon the first night. I remember just sitting there and just looking at it. And it has my name on there. And it's got my picture on the back of the book. And I'm looking at it, not necessarily or definitely not to say pat myself on the back, but I was just looking at it, staring at it, because I just couldn't believe what God had brought me to do. I kept thinking, who am I, Lord? I'm just me. I'm just an ordinary guy. I mean, I'm sure you could find somebody better qualified. But one thing that's come out of this whole journey as far as being a writer, and it goes back to something that I heard somebody say in church a long time ago, and they mentioned that God does not call the qualified. He will qualify those that he calls. And so I'm witness to it because he qualified me to do the first book. And I was so naive and so unaware that I'll never forget when I put the word out that I had written my first book. Friends were calling me and they were excited and they were, well, when are you going to do a book signing? And I want to come to your book signing so you can autograph my book. And Beverly, I honestly was thinking to myself, why do they want to come to a book signing? Because it's just me. I mean, I'm not an author, not a real author. And so I was not planning on even doing a book signing for my first book until I made the mistake of telling my sister. And she just said, no, you can't do that. And she just tore me to shreds. She said, you have to do it. So I was so new to all of this that I didn't understand why people do book signing, because I'm thinking, well, I'm just me, so everybody knows me. But what's come out of this is when you go through a certain time and a period, as God is moving you forward, he qualifies you for what it is he's going to have you to do. But there's also going to need to be a changing of the mindset and the perspective that perhaps we have about ourselves. It's easy for us to say, oh, it's just me or I'm just, because that's our human nature to say that. Not that you're going to brag on yourself and say I'm all that and a bag of chips, because that's not the case. But it has caused me to kind of step back and say, well, you know, God has called me to do this, so I've got to step up and change my mindset and be more faithful that if he's called me to do it, that he'll bring me through it and get me to the finish line the way he intended for me to do. So I did the first book, and again, I was so overwhelmed by the response and encouragement that I got that I said, okay, well, this is great, God. So I've written one book. Now I'm ready to go back and start doing my music because that's really what I want to do. And again, this is Alan trying to tell God what it is needs to be done. You would think I'd have learned something by now, but I'm kind of slow on the uptake sometimes. And so the Lord just said, no.
Pin that for me. Pin that for me and let me jump in here with you and have words for such a phenomenal layout of how Here I Am, Lord came about. And I can relate on so many levels of what you are talking about. First, let's talk about God using you and qualifying you. And it's something you've never done before. And I was thinking before you said, "Here I am, Lord," that you were, you know, resisting. So I can relate to fighting God, you know, and not knowing that this is God using you to bring forth, see, being used of God is very special. And I can remember and relate because when I first created anything having to do with the well, it was the woman at the well, October 2014. And I was going through a period where not realizing that God is trying to use me. And I'm so resistant to the Holy Spirit at that time that I'm thinking that I'm walking in Beverly. See, I'm walking in the carnality of Beverly. And just like you were saying, Alan, you know, you're thinking, you know, why does anybody want to listen to me? It's just me. And I'm in, you know, you're thinking, you know, I don't need a book signing or anything like that. But God aligns things the way he needs it aligned to carry out his purpose. So I'm fighting and thinking I'm, you know, slaying the enemy's effect and impact on my life. I'm binding, you know, praying in the spirit and binding the enemy and this and that. And after a week of getting my natural behind whooped, I didn't know what was going on until I finally was quiet and still enough to realize that God was trying to give me the woman at the well. And I was like, Lord, this has been you all this time? See, because I'm wore out. I ain't winning no way, shape, form, or fashion. And when I finally yielded to what God was trying to do in my life, he was working out the woman at the well. And I'm telling you, you're talking about something phenomenal as only God can do. Now, because he will qualify the call, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to be, you know, an ordained minister or graduate of a theologian study college or anything to be qualified of God. He will refine you and bring you to that point where, here I am, Lord, use me, I'll go. And so when I got to that point, you know, it was being able to really identify and associate with how God was working in my life. With your book, looking at your book on Amazon, you see your name, Here I Am, Lord, by Mr. Alan T. Black, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. All right. Now, as a publisher, I want to say six times over and having consulted with many to publish their own book, the experience of looking at your firstborn is beyond because it is an intense labor of love, when that book is germinating inside you and coming out of you, and then when you see the manifestation of giving birth and you're looking at it, your carnal mind can get in the way and say, well, it's just Beverly, you know, but why would anybody want to listen to Beverly? But when you look at God in all his magnificence and you say, look at God, look at God, he is using me in a way that is nothing that I could have ever imagined, then you're Alan T. Black looking at Here I Am Lord on Amazon, and it's blowing your mind. And it's blowing your mind. But that's how good God is. And he is no respecter of persons. He can use a burning bush, a rod. He can use a man that stutters and says, I can't talk, Lord. Moses, see, to lead his people. There's so much that God can do, but he will do it through those that are willing, see. And when we get to the point where we say, here I am, Lord, use me, I'll go, then we have the reflection that you have and had. And so now that you get to your first book, now you're ready to go back to Alan. Okay, Alan, I'm a songwriter, okay?
Yeah,
you know. You know, that's where you were taking this. So go ahead, because we're going to listen to What If after this. But we want you to bridge that gap between Alan the author and Alan the songwriter and the singer. And so take us back to where you segued from writing your first book, Here I Am, Lord, to returning to your roots of song and lyricism.
You know, to be honest, Beverly, the love of the lyrics in the music has never left me. It's been there from the time I was probably 6, 7 years old, somewhere in there. I've always been drawn to that. So even after having written the first book, Here I Am, Lord, there was still that lyrical flow that was inside of me. And so one afternoon, I just kind of was, I was just in a groove, you know, as, because you do lyrics in your songwriting as well, and sometimes you just feel it. And so that afternoon, I just thought of a scenario that said, what if? And I just created the storyline for the song. Now, I'm not the singer. Nobody wants to hear me sing. I wish I could, but that's not what God's given me a gift to do, and I understand that. But I just created this storyline for what if, and then I just kind of stepped back and I said, okay, now I know what the story is saying, but then how do I go about the process of gathering a team to really kind of give it the completion that it needs? So I spent probably part of 2017 working on that to kind of look online and find some resources that I could collaborate with to create the song that is currently out there right now. And so that was a joyful process, because one thing I have come to embrace in all of this, both my lyrical side and my authorship side, is, and that is the beauty of collaboration. In fact, I have a saying with both. It goes as such, when I talk about you connect, and then you collaborate, and then you create. And you do so in terms of working in concert with other individuals who have a like interest and a like commitment to what it is that you both have in mind as a goal. And so doing that with the music, it eventually led me to the point where we came up with What If. I worked with a gentleman for the music originally in England, and then I finished up the music in terms of fattening up in Nashville, and then we got it released here back in January. And I went outside the box, I'll be honest with you. But as a lyricist, the lyrical side of me understands that the essence of a song, at least to me, and I'm prejudiced when I say this, so I don't apologize for it, but the essence and the beauty of the song is in the story. What is the story saying? So I knew when I created the story itself, I had to think about what genre was going to fit this story. And I said, okay, I'm going to go outside the box. I'm going to do something in country because I know this is really the genre that I need to express what I'm saying lyrically in this song. So I was able to get it together. It's taken a few years to get to that point. But to now see that it's out there and it's really doing well. In fact, it's doing very well overseas. I just got a report from a music promoter over in the Netherlands, and it actually made the top 200 artist chart for the week ending June 14th. And the song was actually
wow,
in addition
to... Wow, congratulations.
Thank you. It's mind-blowing. Again, it's one of those things, Beverly, when I look at it and I'm thinking about when I see my name on here in the top 10, and then the next thing that blew my mind was on this same chart through this promoter out of the Netherlands, the top 40 single chart for June 8th through the 14th, my song was number one on that singles chart. And to see my name there, and I think about the process of going from A to B, and I know it was nothing but God who just kept pushing me to see it to completion. And I give him all the credit because there were times in the process of even doing that, I just didn't see the purpose. I didn't understand what was going on. But I tried again to be obedient. Just be obedient and just kind of keep your head down, keep pressing forward. And so it led to this point where, as I said before, the song was the number one single on the chart there in the Netherlands for the weekend in June 14th. And I got this report
yesterday.
Wow,
congratulations.
I just stared at it. I'm staring at it now as we're talking. And I just shake my head and I'm just thinking, you know what, God? Sometimes the stuff that you do is just so deep that I can't really think about it without giving myself a headache. I don't know if that makes sense to anybody, but the thing, sometimes he blesses me to the point, or he blesses all of us to the point where sometimes I don't know if you even have the words to express your gratitude. And sometimes we just have to kind of shake our head and smile because it's too much for us to comprehend. At least it is for me. I can't speak to anybody else. And this is one of those situations as well where I've looked at this for the last 12 hours and I just still shake my head and I just smile. I just think, you know, God, I don't know how you do it. I'm just glad you're doing it. And I'm so glad that you have blessed me to go down this path because you didn't have to. And I do wonder sometimes why, but I'm just glad that it did, Beverly. And so the song is doing well. And I'm thrilled. This is probably the culmination of me lyrically as a lyricist for music that started in 1975. That was, 42 years ago, 45 years ago? So to finally get to this point after 45 years, it just goes to show that don't give up on your dreams and don't let anybody be a dream stealer. And just keep believing, and you have to keep working to get to a point where you see it to fruition. And it's not going to be something you do in and of yourself. You have to collaborate with other people, and you have to ask the Lord to kind of guide you through it, which is what I've done for this particular song and some other songs I'm looking at doing probably later this year or in 2021 as well. So I'm just trying to be obedient to what God's calling me to do. If I can do that much, then I'm pretty sure I'll be okay because obedience, as they say, is better than sacrifice. Come on, somebody.
Amen, somebody, you know. And that's the perfect segue to your explaining your second book, In the Spirit Intended. We're going to close the show on What If and really enjoy this moment. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you're just tuning in, you are tuned into The Well. I am Beverly Black, and I created The Well. It is an extension of the men at the well, the woman at the well, combined into this one show so that we can welcome all of you and your testimony. So our guest today, Mr. Alan T. Black, has just given us a ripe testimony about the gifts and God's working in his life. Here I Am, Lord, his first debut book on Amazon. He is a best-selling author, and a lyricist, a new song out that we're going to hear right here on The Well, What If by Alan Black, closing out the show. Now, in the spirit intended, you're operating at this level seems to be how all of this is happening. Not only is that the title of your sophomore publication, but it seems to be a character of availing yourself to God and working on that level. Can you expound about In the Spirit Intended?
In the Spirit Intended was like what I would consider part two of my first book. Again, this was a book that the Lord just said, I need you to keep pressing forward. You can still do a little music, but I want your main focus to be on your second book. And so that came out in the summer of 2019. And that book, actually, I was certified as a best-selling author in July of 2019, which was just another amazing blessing that God has bestowed upon me. And I'm so thankful for that. The title, in essence, is really about two things. When the Lord gave me the title In the Spirit Intended, it was a twofold meaning. The first part of it is, In the Spirit Intended, is that everything that I'm sharing with the reader, I would hope that you are taking it to heart and that it is speaking to you in the spirit intended. That's part one. Part two, as the dual meaning implies, what I said in the spirit intended, everything that the Lord's had me to share in my second book, I want people to know that it's not coming from somebody who's a great theologian, who's a bishop, who's an apostle. I'm a very ordinary, down-to-earth guy, very basic, just trying to get from day to day. And so what the Lord's had me to share, I just want you to know that, hey, I'm not an expert, but just take it in the spirit intended, coming from basically an ordinary Joe who just tries to make it a point to be obedient to what God's calling him to do.
Wow. Well, when you talk about in the spirit intended and what you're wanting to convey to other people, it also begs to bring up in the spirit that the recipient is in, see, because you can be in a whole different mindset, operating in a whole different spirit, and not understand what God is trying to say to you through works like In the Spirit Intended. See, we're all hurting and healing from something. That's one of my mantras and quotes in life. And so when God is operating through you and your spirit, bringing words of encouragement and enlightenment, a lot of people may not get it, being that they may not be in the spirit of being able to receive that knowledge. So it is really a matter of discipline. It is a matter of being still, because God is God all by himself. And God works through you, through your books, through your words, through song, through lyrics, always bringing about a message of enlightenment. And it is very important for people to be able to understand what God is saying, because God is going to use who? Other people to do what? Speak into our lives.
Mm-hmm.
See, so he is using you to speak into other people's lives. And what is it for? It's for the edification. Go ahead.
I was going to say it's for the edification. And I take it not just for edification, it's for revelation, and it's for uplifting other people. And if nothing else, Beverly, if it sparks that moment where you say, hey, God, maybe I need to listen more, maybe I need to be a little more reserved. Maybe like the scripture says, maybe I need to be still and know that you're God. And if what we're doing has that kind of impact on somebody else, that can be life-changing. It can be generational change. And we're supposed to edify and uplift each other every day. It's really about everyday activity, everyday living. My father always said, and I probably shared with you before, that when you get right down to it, he said it's not about the sizzle, it's about the steak. And the steak that he referred to is the substance, the essence of who you are on a daily basis.
See, you're going to be interviewing yourself here in a minute. Say something else. It's not about the sizzle. It's not about the sizzle. It's about the steak. So it's about the substance and the content of the message. It's not about how you bring the message in and how much, you know, fireworks and pompous that you have when you're delivering that message. So you don't have to be a mega church. See, you can be, you can come riding in on a donkey, see, and somebody can point you out. And so when we testify to God's work in our lives, when we say, here I am, Lord, use me, I'll go, and we operate in the spirit intended, that's the edification of God working in our life on behalf of the inspiring and uplifting of our fellow man. So we are to love one another as God so loved the world. And I can appreciate the way he works in your life. Okay. Well, you know, it's almost that time for us to get out of here, but we're not going to do so without hearing your song, What If? And we're going to come back right after that for our station conclusion and for our closing of this show. But I want to congratulate you in advance before I even hear it for the first time, because I've been waiting for this moment. Even though I've had the file, I refused to listen to it until now. So, ladies and gentlemen, live on Tribe Family Channel, The Well, with me, Beverly Black, and my guest, Mr. Alan T. Black, no relation, his song, What If, right here.
Many times I relive that fateful night. This ain't how things were meant to be. This life should be
Yesterday didn't
ladies and gentlemen, right here on the well, Mr. Alan T. Black with What If? And that is a question to ask. What if my yesterday didn't rule my today? Come on, somebody. Those are some phenomenal lyrics, because this is the question. What if? What if I wasn't holding myself back? How much promise in my life I could look forward to if I wasn't what? Looking back yesterday. Regret, sorrow, pain, just restraints, just holding ourselves back. But what if I was free from my yesterday? Imagine the promise that yesterday didn't rule my today. Oh, my goodness. See, now you all up in my business, because yesterday does not rule my today, you know, and I get up with so much promise in the new day. And that's what I want people to take away from hearing What If right here on the well with Mr. Alan T. Black. That is a phenomenal song. And you said something earlier that I can definitely identify with. I am a lyricist, but no, I'm not the singer in the family either. And when you know you're not the singer, you let someone else sing the song. Okay, so I have a question. Are you playing any of the instruments? Are those, because it seems like I heard a fiddle or either a violin. So I'm wondering, okay, the music side of What If? Tell us about the musical arrangement, the instruments.
Now, the musical side of this is really where, Beverly, I have to take a walk of faith, because I cannot hear music when I create something lyrically. But when I create something lyrically, I have a concept of the genre that it fits into, and I have a concept of what it's going to be like. I knew when I wrote this lyrically, it was not ballad material. It was up-tempo, and it was going to have a nice beat to it that was going to catch people's attention. So the company that I wound up working with in Nashville, I actually spent some time researching them, and I found them online, to be totally honest with you. I went in, I listened to some of their other music, and I said, okay, what I'm hearing from them in terms of other productions, that's what I need for my lyrics. I knew that, again, this is the power of collaboration, where you do your homework, and then it's a step of faith, and you say, okay, I'm putting this in your hands, and they're going to see what they can do with it. So I had to trust them to give it the sound that it wound up having. And that was a walk of faith. And one thing from the lyrical side, because I don't play an instrument and I can't hear music when I write, I have to do my research and I have to say, okay, these are the guys that I want to do my music. I want to collaborate with them. And that's the faith that I'm not going to say I developed it. The Lord has developed that in me in terms of do your homework. If you see something, pray on it, and then go forward, and you're walking in faith. You're walking on faith. So that's kind of how I got to this point. And I just said, okay, when I sent the letter to the company in Nashville, I said, hey, I trust you. Let's see what we can do with it. And this is what they came up with, the gentleman that's singing.
All right.
He killed it. And so
I
operate in that vein lyrically, because, again, the power of collaboration calls for me on my end to research, to know who it is I'm going to be dealing with, and then take that walk of faith to say, hey, I think we can do something. I think we have something that will work. And so that's how all of this really came about. I'm thinking about next year. I've got another song that I did with this same company out of Nashville and the same singer that will probably be for 2021. It'll kind of have a different feel for it, kind of more of a ballad type song. But the lyrics, that's what drives me, because when I write lyrically as you do, it burns inside of me and I can feel it. There have been times when lyrically I've written something and I said, oh, I'll do it later. But then that that burn in me just says, no, you need to do this now. And actually, the storyline for What If probably took me about a half hour to write, and lyrically it came from somebody saying, what if, spinning in my head, and one afternoon I just said, what if, and there's some self-reflection in there because I'm that person who has let yesterday rule my today for far too long, and then I reached a point years ago where I said, I got to let that go. That has nothing to do with today. So part of that is autobiographical, and then part of it is a reflection and a message to other people to say, hey, don't let your yesterday rule today. And don't do it because if you do so, it might be too late. And so that's how lyrically I created the story that I did.
Well, I am so glad that we were able to hear the full testimony and the goodness of God working through your life on the well. We are out of time, but thank you so much once again, Mr. Alan T. Black, for gracing us with your presence, for allowing us to hear firsthand your testimony, turning it over to God with Here I Am, Lord, your debut book, and then the sophomore book, In the Spirit Intended, now the song, What If? And we definitely feel a greater sense of knowing who you are and what inspiration drives you to do what you do. We're thankful and we're grateful for your gifting. And I think we all should ask ourselves that question, what if? Thank you so much once again, Alan T. Black, ladies and gentlemen. Now, before we go, where can our listening audience find you, pick up your books, and download a copy, preferably a purchased copy of What If? Give everyone that contact information before we conclude the well on Tribe Family Channel.
For my song, What If?, you can actually go to Amazon Music. You can go to Spotify, to Deezer. You can go actually to my other website, which is through payhip.com. If you put in payhip.com, Alan T. Black, I think that'll come up. Forgive me because I just set up this PayHip account maybe about a week ago, and I'm a dinosaur, so I'm still learning all this stuff, but they can go to Amazon, and they can definitely go to Spotify, and they can get more information on the song. This has been only been out for maybe about 2 weeks now, 3 weeks now, so still learning all the ins and outs of the music side of my interest in everything. So it's been an amazing journey just in 3 weeks to see where I think overseas has actually been added on to right now, I think, about 1,900 radio stations overseas. So God is really, I'm just still kind of blown away by it. And I'm still like, man, how could this have happened? To think that it all began one afternoon when somebody just said two words. They said, what if? And it just gave birth to an idea that now I've seen where it's going. And hopefully it's going to go far and go as far as the Lord will allow it to. Even if it doesn't go any further than it is right now, barely, I'm just eternally grateful to know that 45 years later, 47 years later, I guess I should say, that it's reached this point, something I started dreaming about as a junior in college. So, yeah, that means your audience can calculate. That means I'm old, but, hey, I'm still here, so I'm hanging in there. If I woke up, it's still going to be a good day. I ain't going to start testifying about that because I'll get carried away. And then the book that can get on Amazon.com or go to my authorship website, which is Alan T. Black, which is AlanTBlack.com, and that's for both books, Here I Am, Lord, and In the Spirit Intended. So I'm telling y'all, I'm just an ordinary guy that came up out of the projects, got my degree in college, but I'm not that brilliant. But, hey, I'm an ordinary guy that God is doing some extraordinary things through. I'm not bragging on myself, but I'm a witness to the fact that God will take ordinary people and he'll take you to a special place if you're just obedient.
And with that, ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the well. And I think that was well said and a great way to segue back to our song, So Amazing, because that is what God is in our lives. Thank you so much once again, Mr. Alan T. Black. You are so amazing. Everyone go to his website, alantblack.com. Google him. Everything will come up. Stay blessed and stay amazing. Live from Tribe Family Channel, The Well, a Gumbo for the Soul International family brand owned and operated by yours truly. Go to gumbofortheSoulInternational.com for more about our books and our calls for submissions. You can follow our studio at blogtalkradio.com/gumbofortheSoul or just Google Tribe Family Channel, tribefamilychannel.com, Beverly Black, a.k.a. Beverly Black Johnson. Gumbo for the Soul, y'all. Be blessed.
Ooh, the Lord is so amazing. God has truly been a the love he showed me when he sacrificed his only son. And what a blessing Christ Jesus in me. I'm all I am because of what the Lord has done. It's so amazing to be loved by the Holy Spirit, Father and the Son. It's the Lord's amazing love, my God. I was lonely, filled with sorrow. No love today, and there was no hope for tomorrow. But Jesus healed me, yes, he saved me. Save me from the grip of death and the grave. It's so amazing to be loved by the Holy Spirit, Father and the Son. It's the Lord's amazing love, my God. Yes, he is.